As I start this lesson this morning, I'd like to ask you how many of you have a red letter Bible? There are a number of Bibles that have red letters for the words of Jesus, and some seem to think that the red letters are more important than any other parts of the Bible. But in fact, all of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to write about the words of Jesus. So all the words of Jesus are important. This morning I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 28, which in many Bibles would be in red letters. And so these are the words of Jesus. We're going to be talking about something very basic, very foundational this morning. And we want to let the words of Jesus stir us as we think about that. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are the words of Jesus. Are we reading the same Bible? It's amazing to me that the subject we're going to be talking about this morning has been so controversial. There have been, I suppose, thousands and thousands of debates about the importance of baptism. Some denominations deny the importance of baptism. Some, instead of baptism, will sprinkle water upon individuals. And there's always a core of people that believe in faith only. Way back at the time of the Protestant Reformation, beginning with Martin Luther and then John Zwingli and others, they had been taught in their past salvation by works. And if you've ever noticed the grandfather clock, it swings the pendulum from one extreme to the other. Well, they were saying salvation by works. Martin Luther went to the other extreme, salvation by faith only, and somehow left out this subject of baptism. And so the battle has been going on ever since then about whether or not baptism is important. Most denominations have concluded that it's not. It's just not. If you want to, it's okay, but there's no real importance to baptism. And so when you look at the words of Jesus, he gave it some importance. He told the disciples, "All authority has been given to me." Well, what was the effect of that authority? Go therefore. So the therefore is based upon the fact that he has all authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now, I don't know what your ancestry is, but you're included. And so we have a responsibility to do what Jesus said to do. I want to emphasize, what I'm going to tell you this morning is not church doctrine. It is not some Church of Christ doctrine. The only thing that we believe in is the Bible, the Word of God. We believe in telling people what Jesus told the apostles to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I guess that includes all of us. So the idea very clearly is that we need to understand whether or not baptism is necessary for salvation. It's been scorned, it's been laughed at, it's been sneered at. Some of your denominational creed books simply tell you that they don't believe in it. It has nothing to do with salvation. And I want to look at what Jesus said. And that's my responsibility as a gospel preacher, to talk to you about what Jesus said and to look at it from that standpoint. And as you look at what the Bible says about that, we're going to be noticing, first of all, that baptism is immersion, a burial in water. Sprinkling is not what is done. When you look at the passages that are there, we'll look at a number of them because I want to look at the history of this in the Bible, and then we'll be able to know exactly what we're supposed to do. And so first of all, in John chapter 1, giving the history of John's preaching, in verse 26, John answered them saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one of you among you whom you do not know." So it's talking about baptizing in water. You're not being baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're not being baptized by sprinkling some water on you. You're baptized in water. Then in John 3 and verse 23, we have the statement again in that particular passage in verse 23. Now, John was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So whatever baptism is, it takes water, much water, because there were many people being baptized. There was an old preacher back in the Restoration period of time named Raccoon John Smith. And he came into a denomination where they were sprinkling water on a baby. And while they had their eyes closed and were praying, he drank their fountain. And he said, "I've drunk your Jordan." Because they were doing something that the Bible doesn't teach. First of all, babies are not sinners. Sin is a transgression of the law, and babies cannot sin. They're born innocent. And this goes back again to the Augustinian philosophy that came into the Catholic Church when it finally, 600 years after the New Testament Church, it became a church. And they've taught that you're born in sin. That you're born because you have inborn total depravity. And so that started then sprinkling babies and calling that baptizing babies. But you don't find that in the Bible. We're just looking again what the Bible teaches about that. And so when you come to Matthew chapter 3, we're still talking about the early ministry of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 13 to start with, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And then in verse 16, now when he had been baptized, Jesus came up out of the water. He came up immediately out of the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Now, this describes what Jesus had done to him, not for the same reason that we are. He said it was to fulfill all righteousness. He set the right example. If Jesus in his sinlessness was baptized, we in our sinfulness need to be baptized, because that's exactly what the Great Commission says. Now, if you turn to the book of Acts, and I commend everyone to read the book of Acts, because it is the book of conversions. You'll see in the book of Acts the apostles carrying out the Great Commission. And first of all, it was the apostles in Jerusalem. And when you look at the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it gives the outline of the book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world teaching the gospel. And so you come then to Acts chapter 8. And in verse 36, I'm in the book of Luke, excuse me. I knew it didn't look right. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and in verse 36. And what you have is an example of someone being baptized. This was the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, a political man of importance from Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. The Holy Spirit led Philip to the eunuch, and he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Chapter 53, if you're familiar with that, shows the suffering of Christ. It's called that chapter is called the Suffering Servant, because Jesus was going to be suffering while he was on the earth. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless some man guide me?" And so he began to, in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, Isaiah 53, preached unto him Jesus. Now as they went on down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now you're forced to ask a question here. How did the Ethiopian understand about baptism? The point is that Philip preached Christ to the Ethiopian, and you can't preach Christ without preaching baptism. That's the Great Commission again. Not only is it found in Matthew 28, but also in Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Luke chapter 24. And so the apostles and the evangelists of the first century were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Here's a case of a man who has was worshiping God, and he was led into obedience. And as he was led into obedience, he was willing to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Now, I want to stop long enough to ask you a question this morning. Have you done that? Have you been baptized? Notice now, for the remission of sins. Some believe and teach that you're saved by faith only, and after you're saved by faith only, then you can be baptized to add yourself to the church. That's not the teaching of the Bible. In Acts 19, you have Paul meeting some people at Ephesus, and they were some men who had been baptized. And he talked about the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, what were you baptized with? He said, the baptism of John. Well, you see, John had already been beheaded. Jesus' power and authority had been given after John was beheaded. And so the baptism of John ceased. And the baptism of John was to draw people back to repentance that he might accept the Christ. Well, after Jesus died and was raised, people were baptized by his authority. And so the Ethiopians, or the people in Acts 19, had not been baptized correctly. Now think about that. There's a right baptism and a wrong baptism. And when he taught them the truth, they were baptized again. There are people that need to be baptized again because they've only had denominational baptism, which is salvation by faith only, and then later on you can be baptized if you want to. They say it has nothing to do with salvation. Now folks, I've got these creed books in my library, and I've read them, and I know what they're saying. They put baptism down because they have adopted the idea of salvation by faith alone. Now, let me, in connection with that one thing, remind you of James chapter 2. James chapter 2 says we're saved by works, not by faith only. Begin reading in James chapter 2, verse 24. And the only time that faith only is mentioned in the Bible, it's preceded by the word not. And that wipes out the whole denominational concept of salvation by faith alone. We're not saved by faith alone. So we have to understand that. Some have been baptized after they have believed and been taught salvation by faith alone. If that's your case, you need to be baptized because you haven't received this spiritual baptism of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand what that's for, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. It is for the remission of sins. It's not because you have been saved that you're baptized. It's in order to be saved that you're baptized. Now, again, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is the occasion in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, when the very first gospel sermon was preached. And we have a record of what it was. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak in foreign languages. It was a miracle. All the people, the Bible says that the good Jews from around the world were there, from all the nations of the world, because they had come for the day of Passover. 50 days later was the day of Pentecost, and they were there for the day of Pentecost. That was the day that God decided to start his church. And you can read in Acts chapter 2, and down in verse 47 it says that those were saved, were added to the church. But look about verse 38 when you look at this. In verse 38 of Acts 2, then Peter said to them, and they had said, what shall we do? They had realized they were sinners. They had crucified Jesus. What will we do? Have you ever asked that? What should I do? I want to go to heaven. I want forgiveness of my sins, don't you? Just as natural as can be. For somebody who's spiritually minded, we want to understand what to do to go to heaven. And that's what they said, what shall we do? This verse 37 says they were cut to the heart. And we don't find a lot of people cut to the heart today. But we need to understand that. Then in verse 38, Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because you have been saved. Are you with me? That's not what the verse says. That's what the denominational creeds say. But Peter said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So this is for the remission of sins when one is being baptized. Now there's other passages that we look at, Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Here's the occasion when Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. And as the earthquake happened, and they had been singing hymns at midnight, then the jailer asked the question in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Have you ever asked that question? It's one of the most vital questions you'll ever ask, and there are answers. We're not going to give you a denominational answer. We're not going to give you a Church of Christ answer. We're going to give you the Bible answer. He said in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household." And many stopped right there. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized." You see, he understood that they needed to be baptized to be saved. And it was a baptism for the remission of sins. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 6. And he had a number of things to say, because there were some people at Rome that had adopted the philosophy that you're saved by grace, and so the more you sin, the more grace will come. And so they thought it was their obligation to keep on sinning. Verse 1 answers that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. The same thing down in verse 20 as he was talking about that. But I want to start with verse 17. Paul is writing to the Romans who had been baptized. And notice in Romans 16:16, talks about the name of the church. And it is Romans 16:16, "The churches of Christ salute you." In Acts 2, the church started. There were no denominations at that time. It took 600 years for the first denomination to be invented, and that was a Catholic church. Then in the 1500s and the 1600s, you had a Protestant Reformation, and denominations exploded. There are over 400 today. But back in the first century, there was the Lord's Church. Good people, I want to be a member of that church. I don't want to be a member of a man-made church. Because when you're baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, for remission of sins, the Lord adds you to His church. He doesn't add you to a denomination. Verse 47, those that were baptized were added to the church. And verse 47. So there was a church in the first century when the apostles were alive, and it was called the church that belongs to Christ. I want to emphasize that's not really a title. It's a relationship. It is the church that belongs to Christ. And I want to be a part of that church that belongs to Christ. I don't want to be a part of a denomination. Henry VIII, I've mentioned a number of times, started his only church because he wanted to commit adultery. And the Catholic Church at that time wouldn't allow him a divorce. And so he put away his wife, started a new church just so he could commit adultery. That's the Episcopal Church today. They've gone so much further beyond that. They have homosexual priests and lesbian priests, and they just will accept anything sinful. When you leave the Word of God, that's what happens. And so we need to abide in the Word of God. So in Romans 6:17, Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." The form of doctrine is the gospel. "And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." And so there is a change that takes place from that. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Luke 24 talks about the Great Commission as well. In Acts chapter 22, you have the Apostle Paul recounting how he became a Christian. And I've sort of laughed, though it's not funny. I heard a preacher on the radio one morning talking about Saul being saved. And the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he fell off his horse. And before he hit the ground, he was saved. Now, it doesn't say anything about him being on a horse. And it doesn't say anything about him being saved before he hit the ground, because he understood that he was wrong at that point. And he was told what to do. Go into the city, and there be told you what you must do. And the Lord told Ananias, who was a preacher, and you go where Paul is, and you tell him what to do to be saved. And so in chapter 22, you come to the fact that Ananias came, and he said in verse 16, "Now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." Now, if he was saved on the road to Damascus, he didn't know it. God didn't know it. Ananias didn't know it, because Ananias, by the Holy Spirit, went and talked to Saul and said, "Why are you waiting?" You know, that's a good question too. If you understand the truth, if you understand the fact that your baptism is not right, if you understand the fact that baptism is for the remission of sins and you were baptized for another reason, many of the creed books say you're baptized to join the church. And they say join the church of your choice. Well, I want to belong to the church of Jesus' choice. And so here was what Ananias told him. "Why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." That's what happens when you're baptized. Boy, is that holy water? No, the water has nothing to do with it unless you need water to be baptized. It's tap water, it's sea water, it's pond water, it's stock water, whatever water it is supposed to be. And I have a list somewhere in my computer of people that have been baptized in the desert. They're military people. They dug out a hole, put a tarp in it, and they were baptizing people in that hole. I saw a picture of men with a great big front loader, and they had filled the front loader with water, and they were baptizing in the front loader. And I baptized somebody in the Atlantic Ocean. I baptized somebody in the stock pond with mud up to my ankles. It's not the water. It's the blood of Christ. Blood of Christ is what saves me. But how do you reach the blood? How do you reach the blood? The Bible says so very clearly, you're baptized into his death. Doesn't say you're baptized into his miracles. You're not baptized into his birth. You're not baptized into his life. You're baptized into his death. Why? That's where the blood was shed. And when you're baptized into Christ, Colossians says you put on Christ, and your sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. In Acts 2:47, when you're baptized for the remission of sins, you're added to the Lord's church. You can't join it. Now, later, after Paul had been baptized and became a Christian, he attempted to join himself to the church in Jerusalem. And you can do that as if you're added to the church general, or the church universal of all the saved. That's what you're added to by the Lord. Then you might join a local congregation and serve the Lord in that local congregation. But you can't join the universal church. God has to add you to that, and it's very clearly. So baptism is a burial. Romans chapter 6 makes it so very clear. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And he's talking again in that chapter about these people who claimed that they could commit sin and cover it by grace. So dropping down to verse 3, Paul said to the Romans who were Christians, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" And that's the point I just made about reaching the blood of Christ. When you're baptized, it's not the water, but when you obey the Lord applies the blood, and the blood saves us. Then he said, knowing this, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin, and that's died in baptism. So we really have to understand how important baptism is, and it's a burial. In James chapter 1, turning over there for just a moment, we'll notice a passage that will help us. In James chapter 1, beginning of verse 14, it's talking about sin and how sin tempts us. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And so you've got a death in sin, but you've also got a death in baptism. And we want to look at that in just a moment. Baptism is a new birth. That's what Jesus called it. These, again, if you've got a red letter Bible, in John chapter 3, he was talking with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus wanted to know things, so Jesus said that you have to be born again. And Nicodemus could only think of a physical birth, and he said, how can a man enter his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said that the new birth is a water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. When you look at Romans chapter 6 that we just finished, that's exactly what happens. You're baptized in water, Acts 22:16, and the Holy Spirit gives you remission of sins. And there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. I haven't listed it there, but I want to use it this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 3 and verse 21, it brings up the subject of what you once were and how you became different. Verse 20 says, who were formerly disobedient when once the divine long-suffering of God waited the days of Noah when the ark was being prepared, which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful thought. Jesus died and was buried and raised. Baptism, you become dead to sin as you repent, and then you're buried with your Lord in baptism, and you rise to walk in newness of life. And these are the things that are being said. So baptism is a washing. We've already noted Acts 22, verse 16. And these other passages, Acts 2:47, you're added to the Lord's church when you're baptized. And thus you wash away your sins. And it is a washing. And saying in 1 Peter 3:21 that you're saved like Noah. And people say, well, Noah was saved by a ship. No, he was saved by water. Because the flood cut off the wicked world in which he lived. And after he came out of the ark, it was a new world. Only eight people were there at that time. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 uses a likeness. And that is, the likeness of baptism is it saves you by water. Just like your sins are being cut off, just like the old world of Noah was cut off. And that's what he's talking about that way. So now then, here's where I want to go to this and show you the likeness. Baptism is not a ritual. Baptism is a reenacting of what Jesus did for us by being baptized for him. And so you see in the illustration the gospel enacted. First of all, you have Jesus on the cross. Then Jesus is buried in the tomb. And then he's raised in newness of life. He goes to heaven after this. On the other side of that, on the right side, you've got an individual becoming dead to sin by repentance. He is buried in water for baptism, for remission of sins. He rises in the newness of life. That's what John 3 says, the new birth. and you're raised to walk in newness of life. I don't know how to make it any clearer. You know, if you're a Bible reader, if you love the Word of God, and you look at all the evidence, the questions come up, what shall I do to be saved? And you know the answer. Then the next question is, why are you waiting? Like Saul. And he was told by the Holy Spirit through Ananias, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. And that's exactly what we're teaching today. And we certainly hope that that's true. So the conclusion, Mark 16, which is the Great Commission by Mark, Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, be baptized and wash away your sins. He says, in an acceptable time, 2 Corinthians 6, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.